You should be warned, the upcoming episode will be full of unfiltered, off-the-cuff discussion. As such, you should consider this your spoiler warning.
Hello, my name is Kyle.
My name is Ryan.
And when our powers combine, we form...
Experience Grind Podcast.
We are, as confirmed by the Guinness World or Book of World Records, the only podcast in existence in the known universe. Now, that's not saying we're the only one. There could be other ones out there.
We're just the known ones.
In the entire known universe, there might be alternate dimensions. I don't know. That's for Neil deGrasse Tyson to figure out, not me. I'm just telling you what Guinness Book of World Records has told us. That we are the only one in existence.
Sweet science bomb drop right there.
Thank you.
Pretty good.
Thank you.
Hashtag at Neil deGrasse Tyson, biggest fan. I don't think that's his Twitter.
Well, his Twitter wouldn't be a hashtag. It would be at. No, you did say hashtag and then at. So like.
Did I say hashtag at?
Yeah.
Sounds like something I do.
It does.
Butcher,
hey, buddy.
My English language.
How the hell are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good today, Kyle. You know why?
Why is that?
Actually, I'm better than good.
Oh, better than good. Is that great?
This better than good. It's great. Yeah, I guess it is because the song says so.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think it's a great week for gamers and people who play games all around the world because it is that time of year where E3 comes about.
Yeah.
And E3, for the maybe one person listening to this podcast who doesn't know what it is a giant gaming convention where all the publishers and studios release trailers and gameplay footage of the upcoming games.
Sure.
And this year...
Well, I want to start...
Just
like,
finished. So just wait, wrapped up.
So you're talking about E3, but yes. We're not talking about E3 on this episode. And I just wanted to stop you here, and then we're going to redirect this, because I was like, where is he going with this? I don't know. But yeah, so that is for that spoiler alert. Our next episode is going to be on E3.
I think we should cut that.
No, I like it. I like it. I really do enjoy it because you're really into it.
But can do that again.
No. Okay. No, we're just what are we talking about? Because it's not E3 yet, Ryan.
God damn it.
What is the topic of discussion? This shows the human nature, and that's why we are the best and only podcast in existence, because we are fallible.
I love that once a week. I can get together with you guys and just tape my embarrassment just repeatedly. It feels so good.
I am
honored and privileged.
I'm restricting the hair.
You know, to be a part of this majestic beast. Okay, so it's not a good week. It's just a fine week, I guess.
Sure.
We're talking about Nier Automata.
There we go. Okay. Okay, now we're back on board. We're on the same page.
Yeah. Yeah, in case you didn't know, we film stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
We don't necessarily film each episode every week. So,
nope.
Peek behind the curtain.
Yeah.
It's just sometimes, a frail old man.
Sometimes it's just a frail old man. It's the end from Metal Gear Solid 3. He runs the show.
It's a metaphor for our podcast. Mm-hmm. Just a frail old man behind a curtain. It's the best review we've got.
I love that you immediately went into E3 when just before we started recording.
Because I had that fucking awesome segue. I was like, I can roll with this.
But
it
literally,
was the wrong thing.
Literally before we had that,
I know.
You had brought up the question based on the Nier episode we were about to record. And that's why I was so... I was like, why is he talking E3? What is happening here?
I was wondering why you weren't super pumped with my awesome, amazing segue.
It was good.
And
you're going to redo
like
it.
Like butter. All right, well...
But
it's not. Next time this is going to be E3. Let's
E3
start.
Happened. Who cares? I hope we do. We're going to start that way. It's great. I'll do it if you don't.
All right,
it's
we'll,
great.
We'll do
Anyways,
it. We'll do it. We'll do it.
Let's talk about fucking Nier Automata. But before we do, you have a question you presented.
Yeah, because Nier is one of those games that came out and wasn't necessarily a critical darling, didn't sell well, but kind of caught on with a few people. And I think it was widely assumed there would never be a sequel.
Yeah, it would
to this game.
I believe you would call that a cult hit.
Yeah, yeah.
It gained a lot of reverence after.
It did, but I still don't even think like to the status that you would need to get a sequel made. Yet.
Sure.
So
yeah.
It was, needless to say, very surprising when Sony came out and like we are gonna do a PS4 exclusive Nier Automata sequel, and Platinum is developing.
That got a lot of attention.
Just crazy things were happening that we didn't think would happen. So my question to you, Kyle, is in that same kind of thinking, what is a game that is not part of a franchise, doesn't really have sequels or anything, that you would like to see get brought back, either a remake if you want, okay, a sequel, anything? Like, what would you do
if you could do one game? So, I have three answers, and I won't spend a lot of time on any of these. Okay. And two of these are actually platinum games.
Ah, so interesting.
That'll be that's a nice little tidbit here. But my first one, and the one that I would most like to see a modernized sequel for, is this little, it's an also kind of a cult hit PlayStation 1 RPG called Legend of Legaia.
Oh, okay.
You know this game?
I think I do.
Yeah, it's like it's an RPG where it's like it got a combat system where you input these different combos that take up different sections of a bar, and they all have different links, so you can do different ones. You learn like different arts is what they call them. It's like martial arts.
Was this a Squaresoft game at this point, or do you know the developer who was behind it?
I want to say maybe.
I'm not trying to throw you on the spot.
No, I think it was in-house Sony.
Okay.
To be completely honest, because that's the only thing it ever appeared on. It was only that.
I'm going to write this down because I want to check this game out, because it sounds familiar, but I can't visualize it in my head.
I remember you. So there's mist that dominates the planet, and it's similar to this other game we're playing, Crystal Chronicles, where there's these trees that like keep the mist at bay, and these three people have to set out, and they get these little like alien things on their wrist,
yeah,
which allow them to do super moves, and it's a really cool, fun, unique little RPG.
Okay. Is it that kind of chibi SD? I don't know the name of it, but that kind of caricature Japanese drawing style with like the gigantic head
eyes,
and tiny bodies.
No, maybe in the sprites.
Yeah.
Although I don't think so. I think they're pretty polygon based.
Okay. So something more akin to like Final Fantasy?
Yeah, similar to like a Final Fantasy VII, but even not with the big eyes like VII had, but they're that blocky Popeye polygon.
Okay.
So yeah, I would say that one. Another one I would like to see a sequel to would be Vanquish.
Uh-huh. And so these are just like pure sequels. Just
yeah.
Like, give me another chapter.
Yeah, I'd like to see more of this. So Vanquish is one of those. And then the one that, had you asked me this question a year ago, would be probably number one on my list, but now maybe in an alternate dimension, but it's also a platinum game, but it would be Metal Gear Solid Rising Revengeance.
Whoa, okay.
But I don't want that now. Since
because Konami would be behind it without Kojima.
Well, Konami would be behind it without Kojima with no influence, and it would just be awful, and I would hate it. So,
What if it was just Platinum? They were just like, Platinum, we want you to do this. Konami stepped back and just let Platinum do a story.
Still, I wouldn't, because, I mean, Kojima still had influence on the story of Revengeance.
Okay.
I think
having not played Revengeance, I don't really have a rebuttal or anything to that. Good point.
So those are my three. I didn't spend a lot of time on them.
No, perfect. I've got two because I didn't know if we were going to have the same. And that's actually stupid now looking at my two to think we were going to have the same one.
Of course. Sure.
But so I will go equally quick. Most underrated Nintendo 64 game.
I should have known it was Blast Corps. This is one of your like favorite games. I think
Blast Corps is fantastic.
I think this barely did not make your top five list.
Yeah, I really wanted to work it in there, but there were other ones I just couldn't. Like if I had to squeak Blast Corps in, like Earthworm Jim has to go before that. But Blast Corps is essentially a puzzle game where you can get into and out of cars and vehicles and robots. And you have to clear a path by destroying buildings because a car carrying a nuclear missile is going through the level. You can see where the path is, so it's a matter of finding the right vehicles to take out the certain buildings. And it's this really neat thing. You're racing a clock because the car is pushing closer and closer to the buildings. And what I think they could do with this property, because you don't have license, you don't really need art assets much at all, just make this like a free game on a new system, like how PS4 got Resogun or 360 got Geometry Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine just like a really good looking, like all the particle effects we have nowadays. This could look amazing be a ton of fun.
Building
think Saints Row, but with a puzzle kind of mechanic. Yeah. And that sounds fantastic to
me. Or What's the game on Mars with the destructible everything?
Oh, Red Faction. Red Faction Armageddon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that, but with better, you trying to clear a path. And that's it.
Fantastic particle effects explosions. I would play that.
Yeah. And I think with like trials and stuff we have nowadays, like there's a market for this type of game. You make these quick 1 minute levels, you'll hook people.
And then you get people trying to get the top score. You get
leaderboards.
Yeah. Online rank leaderboards. Oh my God.
It cuts down the frustration too. I you're way more likely to spend time in one of those games. All right. And then my second one, which you're not going to agree with.
Oh, I'm not?
No. Lost Odyssey.
Oh, okay. Well, in my defense, I've never finished Lost Odyssey, but I didn't like it.
And it's hard. Yeah. If you never got past the first disc, because there are four discs for an Xbox 360 game, that's how big it is.
It's a big goddamn game.
You didn't get to good stuff. And that's fucking a crime with all RPGs that they commit, that it takes 4 to 13 to 20 hours until you get to the good stuff in the game. Lost Odyssey definitely is fallible on that part, but its story and characters are great. They're just really richly written. Most of them are mortals, so you could even take the setting forward so far in time.
With all new characters.
All new characters, all new settings, all locations. You can keep going. You can keep telling new interesting stories. Like how the further they go in time, like, good Lord, this one fucking fly.
Yeah.
It's one fly.
I know. It's driving me nuts, too.
All right. So, but, like, you can go anywhere. You can tell these stories. Like, the further they go in time, like, you get more depression and, like, world weariness. And all. And you can have, like, a hero become a villain. Like, the villain for the next Lost Odyssey is the hero of the first because he lives so long. You can tell interesting stories.
So, here's my... Why don't people pay us to develop and pitch games?
Right? I think we have good ideas.
I think so, buddy.
I think we have good ideas.
Let's eschew this top-rated podcast and just start a video game development company.
Oh, I like it.
Okay.
Oh man, especially if all we have to do is just come up with designs and ideas.
So I run it. That's what you do. I mean, you're our art designer.
Oh yeah, there you go. Great. Okay, I like it.
Run the company. And we just got to hire a programmer, and we're good.
What's the programmer gonna do?
He's gonna program everything that we tell him. I'm gonna lock him in a room.
That is a Michael Bay answer of what programming is.
Yeah, there of course. Was
no substance to that answer at all.
No. So, all right, man. Lost Odyssey. It's not my cup of tea, but I know that I am the minority in that. Everybody else who generally plays it, really?
I feel like good things from the people who have played it. I think a lot of people are like you, and then they just stop. So it's not even worth bringing up. I think when it came out, it was more 50-50. I don't think one side was more unanimous.
I'll tell you what, you're playing Final Fantasy IX, and I'm playing it with you.
Yes.
I'll do Lost Odyssey again after that.
It'll be fun.
And we'll do an episode on it.
It'll be fun. Oh, I'd be down for that.
Okay.
I'll go through it, too.
I will beat it, I will play it, I will finish it, and I will see if we're in line.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You just have to read everything, too.
I know. I will.
And that's another thing that is maybe like a con, but I think it's a pro. It's like you get 30, 40 minutes in, and then there's like 30 to 40 pages of a little story you have to read.
Yeah.
And I don't mind reading. They're completely optional.
Yeah. It's so counter to the rest of the game.
They have nothing to do with the plot, but it is the character's backstory. So it does add a lot to the characters and who they are. And there were moments where I was reading those stories. I fucking cried. They were so touching. Like, there's some good stuff there.
All right, man.
But does that make a compelling video game?
We'll find out. I will find out for sure.
You will find out. I already have an opinion.
So, speaking of jumping forward in time a whole lot, this is a good segue.
That was a pretty good segue.
Into Nier Automata.
Nice.
And before we get to that, though, I have the song picked out. I don't know the name of it. Usually we've had a new thing where sound engineer Andre kind of does a thing to eschew these copyright things we've been dealing with. I don't know if that's possible for this game because of the fact that, spoiler alert, the music's pretty fucking amazing in this game. And one of my favorite parts about it is I will talk about after the bumper, but you will experience it in the bumper and then we'll come back and talk about it. So here is a piece of music selected by me. This is our bumper, and we'll be back to talk about Nier Automata. So that was the music choice. Mm-hmm. As I alluded to before we cut to it, that is a very cool concept in this game that I'm going to touch on briefly, and I'm sure we'll hit on more. Mm-hmm. So you noticed a change in the music where it was more of a very big orchestral type orchestration, and then it cut.
Is it alliteration if you use the same word?
No, I couldn't think of... Arrangement is the word I was looking for, but I didn't want to pause in open air for too long, so I went back to orchestration and used the same word to define it, which you never do.
I would have let it go if Hartman did not laugh so no, I know. Hard
you
at
should
it.
Have. You should have. It was good. But no, it's so it's cool. It's this big, grandiose arrangement.
Yes.
That when you partake in a certain aspect of this game, mainly when you hack other... Yeah. entities, which you can do for the second half of the story.
And it should be said, like, that hacking is like it's an isometric 8-bit kind of design. Yes.
So it switches to a chiptune version of mm-hmm. every song in the game has a chiptune version that plays, because this can happen at any time mm-hmm. in the second half of the story, which is just fucking awesome and is a nice little attention to detail.
It's incredible. Yeah. Like that scope that they would have, like, the passion and vision to say, like, we're gonna do two full albums worth of music for this game. One that is like big band sweeping orchestra, and one that is a just chiptune. And not even just like bad shitty chiptune, no, but like it's good.
You
it's
hear
well
every
done.
Little thing of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's very well done.
I think you and I both agreed in the original Nier episode that one of the absolute far and away best things in that game was the music.
Agreed.
And Nier Automata does not even disappoint. It's not as good, I feel.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you.
But yeah. it is still... I don't know if you can top Nier, the original. That is hands down my favorite gaming soundtrack, even blowing Final Fantasy VII out of the water. It is so fucking good.
I agree. I agree.
But Automata is a very, very... It's not anywhere close to bad. It's really fucking good, too.
No, it is. It's very good. You can't say anything bad about it. All I could say is just none of the songs quite stuck with me like they did in the first one. But sure. That's it. It's still not bad. Like, as you're listening to it, you're like, this music's fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, this is good.
Which is fantastic. I'm so glad that it was there.
Yeah, yeah. Because, like you said, it was one of the best parts of the first game. And if it was not there this time, it would have been...
It would not have been Nier
at that point, I think. Because I think Nier is made up by the music and the... Kind of many different weird elements that come in.
Yeah,
it's a feeling. Like playing Nier is a feeling. It's not one specific mechanic or anything. It's just like the vibe you get. Like this developer is going to throw anything and everything at you when you're not expecting it.
And I think Automata is that way too. And what I really like is that Platinum came in and took Yoko Taro what he wanted to do and just made it accessible.
I agree with that.
So, whereas the biggest complaint with the original Nier is that it's a fucking chore to play at some points.
Yeah.
Automata, at least control-wise, doesn't hold up to that. It is a very, very smooth game. Mm-hmm. You're never fighting the controls.
No, it feels good. It feels quick, responsive. The combos are neat, and they feel badass when you're doing it. Because, like, that's another thing, too. Like, your game can play mechanically well, but if it doesn't look visceral, if it doesn't look a certain way, like, it doesn't feel satisfying to those combos. It feels satisfying here. 2B is the main character, right?
2B, or actually 2E, but we'll get to that.
Okay.
I'm so fucking pumped, man.
Spoiler warning, Kyle is just going to spoil this game.
Oh, absolutely.
If you haven't played it.
Here's the craziest part. I will spoil everything and fucking about this game, and still you won't even really grasp it unless you actually play through it, I feel. Because you can have somebody talk to you about this game, and still you're like, what? No, what? And then, but playing it is also, it's a completely different thing, because I was... You know, I beat this game a long time ago, and I was just kind of reading through a lot of things coming back to it, and I was like, holy fuck, yeah, that does happen. And all of this shit happens, so...
I should have refreshed myself, and I didn't. So we'll see how this goes. But, what were we talking about before we got into...
just about the control schemes and what...
Oh,
again,
yeah.
I think that's really crazy is that, you know, not only is it tight controls for, like, a combo fighting game a la Devil May Cry... There's also a top-down shooter aspect to this game. There's a bullet hell aspect to this game. And they're all really well done. It's mm-hmm. like three different types of gaming,
yeah,
all in one.
I'd say four if you want to include like the hacking mini game. Like that's essentially like a little portable Game Boy game.
Yeah, well, I consider that more in the bullet hell, especially okay. because of all the nice. Different things that come.
Just
at
that
you.
It's so short, it feels like a puzzle game. But sure, you're right, yeah. it is. Yeah,
it's okay. like oh, so yeah. That's actually the perfect yeah. mix. It's a puzzle game slash bullet hell because yeah. you've got to do a certain thing in each one of these small minute long segments
with a time limit. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It's just it's so.
And
again,
here's that's something. The cool thing too. Yeah. Are all those mini games you don't even get to until the second playthrough.
Yeah.
And I think we'll put a pin in that for later. But like when we start talking about multiple playthroughs, I have stuff to say. But please, what were you saying about another thing that you enjoyed?
I don't know where I was going either because we're a little bit into booze now, and that's cool.
We are into booze.
See
the intro to this episode if you need any proof.
Yeah. So let's just fuck it. Let's go back into these multiple endings.
Okay.
Let's because that's sure. where we're going.
I was, and I'll just kind of get this out there and then talk through it. I was originally disappointed in this game after my first playthrough.
Sure.
Especially compared to the first one. I thought it was a little bit lacking in originality. That first one had that whole forest subplot, which was a text-based adventure.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have a boss fight where you just have to talk to the forest correctly. That was incredible. And that the game stops and does that.
It's weird little things that he does.
Yeah, and there are moments like this here, but I didn't feel like there was anything as big or grabbing as like that whole forest scene in the first one, or like some of the things they did in the first one. I thought it was maybe a little bit more creative. And then the second playthrough happened. And that's where I was like, oh shit, they're still holding more back.
Yeah.
Because as opposed to the first Nier, which was like all this crazy shit, and then you replay the game again, you're still kind of doing the same thing all over again, except you're just getting like the viewpoints from the boss or like certain extra little scenes.
You play the whole game as Nier,
yeah,
which is contrasted to Nier Automata,
yeah,
which has three.
And even that, like
characters.
you're still doing the exact same thing. You go to the same places, you fight the same people in the same way. It's a little boring. And so, like towards the end of that one, I was like, I don't need to play anymore. I think two or three playthroughs, I'm done. I don't need to do anymore. This one had me keep going because I was so interested in what else they were hiding.
Yeah.
Because you do get to like that second playthrough and it's like, oh my God, there's more gameplay mechanics that they didn't get to. Like, oh, that's why they were introducing this like 2 hours before the game ended, because there's even more to come. Oh my God. And so this one, I think after you do the multiple playthroughs, is a better game.
Yeah.
Than the first one. But I was ready to get onto this podcast with you after the first playthrough alone and be like, I was really disappointed. Like, I just don't think it lived up at all. Combat's way better, but where's all the creativity? And then it comes.
Yeah.
So.
And I think I even told you,
I was
like, man.
Very happy with this
after
one.
That first playthrough, you really, I was like, you should at least give the five main endings
yeah.
of the run. Because
yeah.
you can totally do those. So, another spoiler alert, this game has now 27 different endings.
It's higher than I remember.
Well, because they added a new one in the DLC, but there were 26 total. There's one for each letter of the alphabet.
Is it because I borrowed your copy of the game, and mm-hmm. I have not bought mine yet, but I will because I want to keep playing through. I did the five endings. I haven't done anything else, and I was like, I'll just wait because I'm going to buy this game, and then I can go through them and relive this game. The DLC that they put out, is it like actual new content? Like, do you get to do stuff? Or is it just like skins?
The first one, it's got skins, but it's also more of like an arena combat, which is.
Huh.
It, I mean,
does it give you something if you go through it? Like,
I think so. I haven't actually done it yet. It came out and then.
Also, is it free or do you have to pay for it?
I think. I can't remember. I might have got the whole thing because I bought this day one.
Okay.
I can't remember. I will investigate.
Okay. I'm putting you on the spot, like, constantly.
Sure, I know, and that's fine.
I am sorry, not trying to. I'm just very inquisitive.
Yeah, and that's great, because I love it, because I feel like you actually did kind of get into this game in a degree that I did. Not as far as I did, which I don't know most people who have, because I got really far into this game. I got every ending. I platinumed this game. I got every trophy.
Yeah, you did.
So, yeah, here's another little fun fact. I did it the real way, but you can absolutely buy every trophy in this game. Did you know that? There's a point at the ending.
No.
You can buy them with in-game currency. the actual unlockable trophies.
I love this game even more.
It's that's so, really, dude, that's Yoko so that's, fucking Taro, the fucking mastermind behind the Nier franchise and Drakengard. Right. For real. Like, you can just save it's up fantastic. And buy every unlockable trophy in this game.
We've got a new segment that I'm going to come up with right now.
Sure.
I am looking at the complete emotion of just ambivalence and not caring on our sound engineer's face over here. I think for the next minute, we should try to sell him on why this is fucking incredible.
Okay. What, the fact of
unlockables? That you can unlock achievements with in-game currency and like why this actually means anything. Because I'm sure you just heard that and you're like, nerds. It meant nothing to you, right?
I didn't actually hear that. I was so zoned out. I have no idea.
So go ahead and pitch it to him now.
All right. So as Kyle said, you can earn all the achievements in this game by paying for it with money you earn by doing stuff in the game. Not unreasonable, just on what it sounds like. But this has never been done before in any game. The achievements are something you have to earn, like by doing a task. It's like insane shit, like
arbitrary.
Kill 60,000 zombies to get this achievement. And it's a badge. This guy just is fucking with the whole system. He was like, oh, you have like 30 gold in game? Pay for it. And you can unlock any achievement you want. Just do it. And it's just kind of... anarchic? Anarchy, like, kind of thing? Like, he's, like, a rebel. Like, he's, like, doing shit to, like...
That's Yoko Taro,
video
man.
Games
yeah.
can't do this? Fuck you. I'm gonna do this.
And that's
like,
why, like...
And he pushes buttons. Like,
there's hints of that in, like, the original Nier, where, like, you know, so... You have the whole text-based section out of nowhere. You're like, what in the fuck is even... Like, where is this coming from?
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah. so... both games have a feature where it will delete all of your saves.
Yeah.
Which, again, what game does this? Yoko Taro loves to just fuck with the concept of video games as a whole.
I feel like, wasn't Kojima flirting with that idea for a little bit?
He
wanted to do a Metal Gear game where you would start, and when you died, your game's done. Like, you have to buy a new copy of the game. Like, he was flirting around with this kind of stuff before.
He might have,
but he never did it.
Yoko did it.
He did it.
And he's done it twice.
Yeah.
And he's totally eschewed the fucking stupid arbitrary trophy system.
That's so incredible. I did not know that.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it?
That's really cool.
And that's what, like, this
just
guy...
Just, like, the balls on this guy.
He's easily up there with Kojima as, like, all-time favorite developers for me. Anything this guy puts out, I am interested in. And there's been rumors of them releasing a Drakengard, like, HD remaster.
Oh, if it included all three of them, I'd
God
be down
God damn,
that.
I would fucking want it so bad.
Yeah, I didn't play the first two, and I own the third one for PS3. I haven't played it yet.
The third one is where the whole Nier franchise breaks off
that's
from.
That's what I hear, and that's why I picked it up, because it was, like, $15 at Best Buy. I was like, okay, that's easy enough. Nier, what were we saying before we started talking about
this? Fine, we were talking about.
Oh, you were all right. So you kind of compared him to Kojima as a developer, and I think, and I'm not like trying to start like a debate about this or anything, but I think now, having viewed Yoko Taro's games, I prefer him as a storyteller.
I would agree.
Yeah, I think Kojima might be a better developer, like that broad, overarching, like it everything, like hands and everything. He might be better, but Yoko Taro, I feel like his stories are a little bit more consistent thematically. They stick; they're cohesive stories.
They get you on this weird level, like
yeah.
So,
but they're all filled with like symbolism and metaphor, and they're very rich, but not in like that David Lynch way, where it's ambiguous for the sake of ambiguous. It's ambiguous enough so there are just 40 interpretations. Like, no, I think there are like. Maybe three interpretations of the self. Like, it's very focused.
So Yoko Taro compared to Kojima. I love Kojima, but Kojima is very heavy-handed with a lot of his stuff.
Like, yes, which, you know, I think is, like, a Japanese culture thing.
Because
comes across in, like, anime and
a lot of the villains are, like, very one-sided. They have this one thing, and they are focused on that. And you get it, but that's like... There's a lot going on in Yoko Taro shit, and what I think sets Nier Automata apart is that the fact that like Square Enix like understands that, but they're like, we get it, but you're gonna make this game with Platinum because Platinum knows gameplay.
Man, that's a what a move!
Yeah,
just what a move that was.
It was like you take the fucking greatness of Nier and you slap it into the Platinum gameplay. Dude, why are not more people playing this fucking game? I know this game blew Square's expectations completely away. Dude,
it did critically and commercially.
Yeah, like, it was this game fucking sold well, fantastic hit.
I don't think I saw a review that was under a 9 out of 10 for this game.
It was a fucking great game.
Yeah.
And everybody should be playing it.
Yeah.
And I still plan, I think this is the game I want to give away to our end of the year contest.
Well, at the end of the year contest is probably going to go to Micah. So I think it is going to go to PlayStation Micah. 4 by the end of the year.
Because
you're getting goddamn Nier Automata.
You are getting it, Micah. But yeah, I think it's fucking great. I love this game. It's still in my top of this year.
Oh, yeah. I will be very surprised if there are enough games this year that come out that bump this out of my top five. There's no way this is not in my top five.
I don't think. I'm going to go ahead and call it now. Zelda's going to get Game of the Year. I don't agree with that.
From you?
No.
Oh, no. I'm talking about our Game of the Year.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Fuck all those people.
Exactly. But I'm
saying
Zelda
is going to get Game of
the Year. I think Nier should get it.
Or fucking Mario Odyssey might if it actually comes out this holiday.
I don't know.
I agree. I don't agree with this, but I think critics will do it because critics are so up Nintendo's butt right now.
Not only Zelda in general, and Breath of the Wild was like, it is a good game.
Oh, I'm sure it's a good game.
I think Nier's way better.
Yeah, yeah. It's
so let's talk about Nier a little bit more. Let's talk about Automata.
Yeah, so, I feel like you want to get into some of the complexities of the endings and the story stuff, so I'll let you go ahead, sir.
Okay, So Nier takes place in the year 3361.
Okay. You fucking wrote shit down.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Nier Automata takes place in the year 11,945.
So 7,000 years into the future.
8,584, to be exact.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So in the story of Nier Automata...
Did you fucking do the math?
Yeah, I did the math. Of course I did the math.
It's so important to get the exact number of years.
They give us the dates. I'm going to do the math to it. It's in the fucking game.
It's not like something where the number of years is boob on the calculator upside down. It's 8008.
I wish it was boob upside down. That'd be better.
That would be a fucking reason to remember.
Although if we're talking about 2B, it'd be way more about that. But...
Which is kind of on the pervy side, Japan.
Yeah. Oh, it's... Dude, there's an achievement for looking up her dress five times.
I know.
I
know.
It's like, yeah, of course, this is what it is.
That's a little disappointing.
I think it's great. Again, it's Yoko Taro being like, yeah, here you go.
This guy, because you look at Kaine's outfit in that first one, and that is just not even close to functional.
No, here's a fun fact. The Kaine outfit you can put on 2B in the DLC.
Oh, can't you? Really?
I do know that. That's one of the unlockables.
Of course you can, because it's sleazy and small.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little sleazy. I'm not saying like, boycott this game because of this.
You know you can make it sleazier. If you make yourself destruct, she loses the skirt.
Japanese sleaze.
And you can just make her walk around in the thong?
I did not know that.
Totally
can. Okay, so that does not take away from my sleaze argument.
Oh, no, it actually ramps it up even more.
It does.
And I played a lot of the game that way.
Did you really?
I will just go ahead and say that.
I mean, so in like a story game where I'm taking it seriously, I couldn't fucking do that. Like, I'd have to have them done the proper way or whatever. But you give me Saints Row or Grand Theft Auto, fuck yeah, I'll be a naked woman
but
or naked man.
But they're already wearing like French maid outfits. Like, she's already supposed to be sexy. Like, that's a big thing of character.
Does that play in like evolutionary wise with this character? Like, with her purpose? As like the robot kind of army race.
No,
like
Yoko Taro has gone on record. He's just like, I like sexy girls.
Okay.
That's literally
okay.
He's like, I want to make games with sexy girls in them. That's what I like.
It's a little disappointing.
Yeah.
But I mean, Kojima just did it because Quiet was really close to naked.
Yeah.
Really close to naked because her skin needs to breathe.
Mm-hmm. And again, I won't chastise them, man. They're fucking making it. Make it how you want, dude. Yeah. I'm not making shit.
Yeah.
Who the fuck am I?
That's, yeah, fair.
I mean, so that's my thing there. But like, so this game takes place 11,000 years in the future. Let's round it off.
Tangent.
Yeah. 11,000 years in the future, okay?
Okay.
From the ending of Nier. And in Nier, we find out that humans don't exist. Their souls are separated from their bodies. and all of the people that you play in are like these android representations of human bodies mm-hmm. that are waiting to recombine with their souls, which are actually the shades in the game. God damn, there's so much going on here.
Yeah.
So in Nier Automata, 11,000 years in the future, there's this giant war between androids and this robot race that has been started by an alien race that came to Earth and set out these robots to destroy humanity and take over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And humanity, in turn, fled to the moon and created these androids to fight for them and bring the Earth back under their control so that they could return to Earth. None of that is really what's going on in this game.
Yeah.
This game is really about the discovery of self
mm-hmm.
and the importance of who you think you are and what you do.
Keep talking.
It's like self-discovery.
There's a it's consciousness. Better word for it. Yeah, it's consciousness.
Yeah
it is. Mm-hmm.
So
what does it mean to be truly alive?
Sure,
like there, it's that kind of stuff. It's like the ex machina stuff. It's like the same kind of debates and philosophy here. And it's very interesting. It's very interesting, and I think it's handled well. And I really like how the game plays with it, like mechanic wise
and just story wise. So we meet these two characters named Adam and Eve, who are created when the robots, not the androids. So androids are very human-esque. They look like humans,
mm-hmm.
but they can do crazy wild things and fight really awesomely. The machine race is very much like a clunky robot style.
Yeah.
And eventually through the story, we get to this desert and we find robots simulating the act of sex. And eventually through some gigantic robot womb, they give birth to an android who turns out to be the character Adam. And then Adam splits and creates an exact copy of himself called Eve,
mm-hmm.
who is actually still a guy.
Still a boy. Yeah.
Still a dude. Mm-hmm. Even though they don't have genitals, because they're fully naked, and they're just smooth like a Barbie doll or a Ken doll, I should say. But these two...
They're typical Japanese punk badasses with their long hair. And
mm-hmm. All they want to do is replicate what it is to be human,
mm-hmm.
which on a whole, that's generally what all of the androids basically want to do, especially once they gain their... their consciousness,
which
the three main characters in this game eventually achieve.
Mm-hmm.
So, more spoilers. I mean, man, I know this is weird, rambly episode talk.
I'm just letting you go with it because you let me go on my shit.
So, we find out that humanity has been dead since well before this game ever started.
Uh-huh.
The actual Gestalt project from Nier, the original Nier, never worked, and humanity was unable to be saved.
Hmm.
So you get these broadcasts from the moon periodically at the beginning stages of the game, which you are led to believe is humanity sending signals of like, hey, we're still rooting for you, go do it,
mm-hmm.
when actually it was all a ruse because of the fact that the android's single purpose is to retake the Earth for humanity. It's this ruse implemented by the higher-ups in the android hierarchy to prevent a morale drop and the eventual, mm-hmm. like, androids just giving up. So it's all just bullshit.
Yes.
And everything in the game is trying to eventually take on its own version of humanity.
Yes.
The machines, the androids, and the proto-androids, Adam and Eve. Everybody just wants to be human. And what does it mean to be human?
Yeah.
Is the eternal question this game asks and tries to answer.
Mm-hmm. I think it does it well. As you mentioned, there are several points that kind of do it. Like, it's a funny humor sight when you encounter, like, the robots having sex.
It's
in
weird.
All various positions and manners, because they are not just missionary and missionary alone. Like, they're doing it in weird ways sometimes. But it's these things are typically your enemies, and you just go in and you're kind of
and
walking around them, not fighting you. They don't care about you. They're just fucking each other to death.
And there's humorous sound effects of metal clinging against metal. You hear that tink, 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 tink. They are fucking. They are robots fucking.
It is. It's this funny idea of like these robots trying to replicate what they think it is to be human. And it's like I said, it's not only like a crazy visual that will never leave my head. It's funny. It has a certain rhythm to it to make this game not feel kind of monotonous. It's like it's these moments like this that give it the levity and make this game really such a breeze and easy to play. But it also like serves the purpose of consciousness and humanity. That is the perfect example of why this game works on almost every level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. It's amazing.
Just like Nier, and just like anything Yoko makes, it's a weird, fucking beautiful, unique mess of a game that is more solid than anything else he's ever done because Platinum made all of the gameplay aspects of it, I think. But I think you can tell that Yoko still had an input in things because
it feels like Nier still.
Yeah.
It does. And like I said, that's not necessarily one type of thing. It is that ambition. It is that grand idea when it comes to different gameplay mechanics and different things. It's all here and it's all done better, as you said.
Yeah. Like, it just feels way better.
So good to play. It does.
So there's some characters from Nier that pop up.
Yeah.
Specifically three. Devila, Popola.
Yep.
And what is his fucking
name?
How
did they pop up again? I remember them coming in towards the end, but I don't remember.
They're just other androids that show up at the base eventually, and then they are So the Devila and Popola, they're actually just models of androids called the Devila and Popola models. And we encountered them first in Nier back in the day when their actual primary goal was to oversee the implication of the Gestalt method, which would take away.
They were the bad guys, essentially.
But they weren't really bad guys. It's weird. It's that weird ambivalence, like that gray area that they. And so because of that, like. All of the other Devila Popola models get almost like sort of chastised or cast out from the other androids. Okay. They don't really like them because they kind of blame them for all of the bad that has beset humanity when it really wasn't their fault. They were just doing, again, what they were programmed to do. Mm-hmm. But they eventually come in and they redeem themselves by sacrificing themselves so that 9S can hack into this giant white tower at the end, which is actually called the Ark.
Mm-hmm.
And this, again, God, we sound like such fucking psychos talking about this game. It's so hard to talk about, though. I feel it has to be almost experienced, so.
I mean, I don't disagree with that. Like, I think you are not going to get the enjoyment out of listening to people talk about the plot or the script or, like, its intricacies or whatever. You are going to get the enjoyment out of playing it. But in order to get people to play it, like, Gotta try to tell you how it is.
You talk about some things. I want you to take over for a little bit.
I feel like I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know if there's much
Emile.
Else to say.
Emile's the other one
because he's in that goddamn annoying van.
It's like a scooter. It's like a Vespa scooter.
He's the worst cameo. I was like, oh, Emile, and then like
I loved Emile,
and then he started, and then like his shtick got really tiring to me really quick. I was like, I guess I don't really miss you. Especially as you just as a
and
fucking
you,
annoying head.
I know that you didn't do it, but Emile is actually the hardest boss in the game.
No, I definitely didn't fight him.
Yeah. He is.
Why
the,
do you fight him? What's the reasoning to get you to fight him?
So he tells you about his house at some point, I think in the third chapter, and tells you to visit it. And so you go to visit it, and then when you visit it, you come upon, there's like an Emile mask, and you take that, and then you leave. And then you go back, and then you have to break into his house the second time, and you take another thing. And as you're leaving, he's like, oh, you're the one that was stealing from me. And so you fight him there, and then you beat him, and he leaves.
Okay.
And he goes to the desert.
And this isn't the hard boss fight.
No, the hard boss fight is the desert boss fight. Although he is really fucking hard there too, I will say.
Okay.
He is really fucking hard. But once you get to the desert, I don't know, you can come across it generally anyways. You come across, just on the middle of the desert, there's no mark or anything, but there's all of these fucking Emile heads. and some of them are really fucking big, like boulder size. And it's just really weird because it's there from the beginning and you can just stumble upon it. But you actually go back there and you fight and all those Emil heads come to life and start to fight you because Emil loved Kaine and he loved Nier himself, who's the name of the first character from the game. And when the aliens came, he, you know, he's a pretty powerful character in the overall story. So he started like splitting himself and cloning himself to fight the aliens.
Huh.
And that's why he doesn't remember a lot in the game.
How do you hear about that?
Just talking to him and, and doing more of these stories. And eventually, so you fight him and you beat him and he regains his memories and he talks about Kaine a little bit. And he just kind of goes on. He goes, he gets his memories back and he moves on. It's like kind of, again, you don't have to do it at all. You didn't do it and you had no idea you could even do it, which is cool. I love that. I went searching for it. But yeah, he's absolutely the hardest boss in the game at that point.
Yeah.
I fought him as A2, though.
Ooh.
Because A2 is a pretty badass little character. Okay. But let's talk about A2 a little bit.
Go for it.
Okay.
Which one's A2 again? I have all these names confused because it's like A2, 2B, 2B
is the main character that you start off playing. And there's 9S, who is the
male
boy
counterpart.
Who is tag teamed with 2B. And then A2 comes in. She's the one who kills the Forest King. She's the long haired. She looks just like 2B, but she has long hair. So she is actually one of the very first Yorha androids.
All right. I should have refreshed on this because Yorha
is who 2B and 9S work for.
Okay.
That's the bunker. You're all Yorha units.
Yes.
So A2 was one of the first one of these, and she was sent to Earth as like a test mission almost. They weren't expected to come back, and all of her team died except for her. Mm-hmm. And that's why they label her deserter, because she did desert. And she's one of the first ones to gain consciousness among the three top levels. So she joins up. She eventually she starts off as an enemy, and like most things in these tropey things, she becomes an ally eventually, except not to 9S. Like 2B understands what she is and like befriends her, even though she kills 2B. She did it. God damn, there's so much going on. Because there's a virus infecting 2B that's going to kill her. So she puts her consciousness inside of a sword and then gives that sword to A2.
Uh-huh.
And A2 kills 2B, but the consciousness lives on.
Mm-hmm.
God damn, we sound like weirdos.
You say we, but you're the one who's going into these plot details.
Sure,
I am. You're nerding out. You love
trying to bring
about
you down.
Plot.
I do. And this game has tons of plot.
I think this is why you like Final Fantasy and all this Japanese
shit.
Because it's all plot-based.
If I was a bit nerdier, I'd be a full weeboo. But I don't like anime that much.
Motherfucker, you like anime. You're all like FLCL, Cowboy Bebop, Attack on Titan.
But I don't watch a lot of it. I like a lot of the mainstream stuff.
A lot more than I watch.
Sure. But, dude, it gets way worse than me, I'm telling you.
I guess so.
You go down this rabbit hole like in Nier. There's a lot of fucking weird anime shit out there.
Oh, yeah. That does not surprise me.
I don't know, man. I don't just want to talk about plot and all this weird shit. I want to get away from that. I want to talk more about you.
So talk about your feelings with the game, man.
My feelings with the game are fucking awesome. It made me feel a lot of shit that I haven't felt by a game in a long time. It gives me a lot of confusion.
What kind of feels? Okay.
There's a lot of confusion, a lot of...
excuse me.
I mean, not overtly, but it does do a good job of making you question humanity and what makes a human a human.
Yeah.
I mean... Because a lot of people go through life in a very robotic aspect. They get up, they go to work, they come home, they jerk off, they go to bed, they get up, they go to work.
Yeah.
It's this cyclical thing. And like, is that where all human life is? And because if that's what it is, the androids encompass that. They don't sleep, but they kill machines. They kill more machines. They take machine cores. Uh-huh. They go back to base. They sacrifice themselves. They upload their consciousness. They come back. It's this weird, like... if you're looking at it from that way, they already are human.
It's an aurora borealis.
Oh, yeah, an aurora borealis, a snake eating itself. Very nice, deep cut callback.
Yeah,
Ryan.
No, it's. I agree. And there's only so many ways you can say that, but this game is art. This game is art. It is art like movies can be art sometimes. It is like a Guillermo del Toro art. It is art that is, everything is there and it has a reason, minus the obvious pervy sexuality. That's just because Yoko Taro likes it, he says. But everything else kind of has a purpose. It has a purpose thematically, symbolically. It means something. Everything relates to something else in this game. There's not a little detail that was not given intense thought.
Sure.
And you don't see that in many games. What you do see in many games is like, oh, great, tight controls and like different stuff. But this game hits every quadrant. Like,
of what you want in a good game. Yeah.
The gameplay is fun. The RPG elements are good. Like, there's in-jokes, meta-jokes about gaming and the hobby itself. There are great characters and some good story beats. It's just, like I said, it hits every box that you could possibly think of, and not many games do that. You're talking about Zelda getting Game of the Year nods from all these critics. Like, say what you fucking want. There's no story there. There aren't characters you care about. You only care about Zelda or Link because you've seen them before. You're familiar with it. There is no actual character there. There is no character growth. Nier has that.
Oh, it has tons
and gameplay
of it. Yeah.
And exploration and all this shit. So I think, one, it's a crime that Nier is not going to get the recognition it deserves at the end of this year, because it deserves it.
Yep.
But I think
I'm so
you're right.
Glad to
like
hear you say all this.
It
by
is
the way.
It is that game that does hit all the boxes, and I think when you do play it, you realize like, oh shit, I have not played a game like this in a while. And I like I said, I don't think Zelda hits it. I think Zelda's still short in some areas with Breath of the Wild, and I think the other games that came out this year, I've not played Horizon Zero Dawn and some of the other big contenders, but they're probably not hitting every single mark.
No.
This game just does it creativity-wise.
Again, I'm so glad to hear you say this, because we haven't, again, the detriment to this show is that you and I, we don't talk about things that we want to, because we know that we're going to have an episode on it. But based on a lot of my feeling out of views about this game, you didn't like it. So that's, I'm so glad to hear this.
Yeah, no, I was being very quiet and mum's the word.
I loved it, so I'm glad that you and I are on the same page in this game.
Yeah, and I'll also, if you need more filler here, I'll say take that as like my general summation of how I feel about this game, because I did have like one other nitpick.
I've got some nitpicks too. It's not a perfect game.
I think it's pretty close, but I will say nothing hit me emotional.
Okay.
In this game, emotion-wise, like when characters died or when had issues, I didn't care.
And I wonder,
and it was fine, but like I had such a greater attachment to Kaine and Emil in the first game. And when things, just like getting backstory from those two characters, like gave me the feels. Like it made me really think. I think this is a smart thematic game, but I think it's lacking a little emotion. And I think that's, one, it's completely fine, because that fits the theme of this game.
It's robots.
Right? So that's fine. You don't have to have it. But I'm saying from where I come from, I will relate to a game that can make me emote and give me the feels. And that first Nier did that for me more than this one did. That's it. That's my little nitpick.
I wonder, too, like a... it's... Dead air is what we're going at right here.
orchestral.
So like Kaine, like you said, Kaine makes you feel things. I had a point. I should have written it down. So I'm just going to totally deflect, and we're going to change directions here.
Fine by me.
You what talked about RPG elements.
Yes.
So what's really cool in this game are... So you are an android, and all three characters are androids, and they have an operating system. And these operating systems are based on chips.
Yeah.
And these chips are things that you find in the game. And you can add chips in of any type that you want and create a completely custom playstyle.
Yeah.
I think that's really fucking cool.
There are chips, too, that control parts of the HUD.
Yeah.
You can remove those. And so you'll have, like, literally no information on the screen if you want, if you need that extra space.
Like, yeah, it is a finite resource. You only have so much space, but you can remove other parts.
It's so cool. Yeah. It's just like, it's again, it's attention to detail. It's like a little thing. Like, nobody ever really pays attention to menus when they're designing them or the UI. This game makes a game out of its UI. Like, yeah. That's incredible. Like, yeah. That's fun.
Yeah, it's just a little thing. Yeah. Another little touch.
Yeah.
To bring you into that.
Yeah,
that element.
You know, I'm just going to call it here. I don't think there's going to be another game this year. This is probably going to be my number one game of the year.
I don't think it's still my game of the year. I fucking love this game.
Yeah.
I was so hyped for this game, and it just eschewed my hype.
For an episode a year away, this is going to be my number one
of the year. This is the year that gave me Final Fantasy 15.
Last year was Final Fantasy.
Was it 15?
It was your number one last year, which is still a giant fucking mistake.
I'm drunk. Anyways. Easily, hands down, Nier.
Yes.
I fucking love this game.
Yeah.
And I want so many more people to play this game and experience it.
Kyle, I agree with you. Question. Square will only make one franchise going forward, Nier or Final Fantasy. What do you pick?
All right. You ready for this? You know the answer.
If it's Final Fantasy, I don't know if we can do this podcast anymore.
Why? All right. So here's my thing. Final Fantasy is garbage. But no. All right. So Nier Automatic is a fucking fantastic game.
We've had two...
End it on a high note. Final Fantasy has a chance to give greatness. It can also give crap. But it's a... You know what? You're going to get more for that.
Oh, no. It's like saying I would prefer Woody Allen to keep making films over Martin Scorsese, who gives fucking hits every goddamn time.
Because I argued with this about my bandmates when I was recording my last record. And the fact I'm always of the my mindset is always leave them wanting more. Don't give them more than what they want, which Final Fantasy has done and has almost become a trope of itself. But if you leave them wanting more, it's always the best thing in your mind. So if you stop Nier Automata here, it will never get bad because there will never be a bad game. It will always be this unobtainable level almost.
Man, that's a great ideal.
That's just me personally.
But that doesn't work. Because, Nier goes out on a high note. Awesome. Can live in the world where you're getting 30 more
Final Fantasies.
Assassin's Creeds and 30 Final Fantasies and 30 Maddens and 30 where everything's a goddamn sequel. I'll take Nier as a sequel every year or two. If it's fucking as good or
as promising as
even the first game, not even Automata, I would prefer that.
I love to hear this from you, man. I'm so glad that you're on the same page with me with this game.
I think Nier is one of the best things to come out of Japan in a long time, just in general.
You just quit, but I'm so glad we do this show.
I guess I'm back in.
This is amazing. Yeah, this is amazing. I fucking love it.
Keep the flattery up. I'm back in. I'm back in. I'm right back in. No, it's a... I really do. I do think it's one of the best visions from a Japanese developer or a Japanese auteur in a long, long time.
And sure. And I love that. And I love that they have... I love that it was a hit because I know we're going to get more from Yoko Taro now.
Yeah.
I
hope so.
That's so fucking exciting
for both
me.
For Yoko Taro and Platinum. I hope they both keep getting more because you and I were both crushed with the Scalebound being disbanded. And that's so disappointing.
If they dump all that back into a new Nier, fucking A,
which
man.
Would be good. Does Platinum have anything on their docket coming out that they've announced?
I mean, they've just been re-releasing all the updated versions to PC of like Bayonetta and Vanquish, and now people are hoping for Bayonetta 2. There's rumors of a Bayonetta 3 on the horizon.
Are there rumors?
Yes.
Okay.
There are. If again, it's all rumors.
Goddamn Switch exclusive.
It's not.
I quit video games.
I've heard it's not going to be Nintendo. The only reason we got Bayonetta 2 was because of, you know, Nintendo's involvement.
But they also got Wonderful 101 and like a few other games.
I think Bayonetta's release on the Switch, on PC. The port to that was a huge hit. Vanquish was a huge hit. And they're seeing a lot of... They're like, okay, we could have something here again. So I've heard rumors.
They did what Darksiders did, because Darksiders did those re-releases, and now we're getting a 3 after that sale and acquisition.
Care. I hate Darksiders.
Really? You hate them?
I think they're awful.
I have not played them yet, but I want to.
Dude, they're bad.
I think you're wrong.
Okay, I would
hearing
love to.
From everyone else.
Please play number 1 and tell me I'm wrong.
Did you play the second one?
Didn't want to.
How long did you make into the first one?
I beat it.
You beat it. Okay, that is good to know. That is good to know.
I beat it, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm done with this." And I,
but the second one has like a different kind of gameplay style too, and you still are just like, "I don't want to even try it."
And to me, after I play, it's like, all right, so the Darksiders franchise seems like something that was written on the back of like a junior high kid's notebook.
It looks a little Todd McFarlane-y.
Oh, it's really bad,
right? It's like that '90s uber masculine cheese.
And then death, you got, and like, I don't know. Oh, it's a whole other thing for another episode. Okay. We can get into it. I want to know now.
No, it's fine. I think it's crazy that we live in a world where you would think Darksiders is worse than Final Fantasy 13.
Oh my God. No, it's way worse. But anyways, God. We'll come back.
Vanilla is the worst.
We'll come back. Vanilla is the worst.
Off a cliff.
Vanilla is the worst. I love lightning though. Anyways.
Vanilla sounds like venereal. And I think venereal disease on gaming.
She's pretty bad.
Yeah. All right.
So is Hope.
Let's continue. I'm sorry.
Ryan, two questions. We're going to end the show with these. What was your overall experience? See how we tied that in there.
Okay. To the show title.
Huh? With Nier Automata.
I played it. It was a great time. Okay. I really enjoyed it. I have really... just small nitpicks. I have no big reservations with the game. I would recommend it to almost anyone.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
It's fantastic. It is deep if you want it to be, but can just be a dumb, mindless beat 'em up if you want that.
And that's great
it's
too. Yeah,
fantastic.
It can be as deep as you want or as shallow as you want.
Yeah,
and that game's mini games offer you that.
Agreed.
Level of customization too. My second question to you is, Ryan, based on our new patented rating scale. How many blunts or joints would you rate Nier Automata at, with 0 being the highest and 5 being the worst?
Yeah, so how many blunts would you need to enjoy this game?
Yep.
0.
Cool.
I don't think you need any.
Okay. That's pretty fucking high regards.
It doesn't hurt if you want to, I would imagine.
You haven't asked me yet. I'm just going to go ahead and interject. But I think I would rate it on a scale from 0 to 1, maybe like a half a joint here or there.
Just maybe. What about... second degree smoke.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
How about that?
That's
it's not quite
qualifies.
0 joints.
Yeah.
You get somebody blowing it in
sitting
your face.
Sitting next to you smoking a bowl and asking you like, what the fuck
contact
is this?
Contact high.
Yeah.
That's sure. It gets
love
a rating
it.
Of contact
love
high.
It. Okay. Yeah. That's what I'd give it.
All right. I'm with that. I'll go to contact high.
Okay. That's all I really got to say, man.
This rating scale is fucking absurd.
I know, it's a great, and it's again much like the gameplay of Nier Automata. It's fully customizable to whatever you want it to be.
There you go.
It's like amazing. It totally serves all of our
it
purposes.
Means nothing and everything
there
at the
is.
Same time.
There it is. Ryan, I'm really glad that I was totally incorrect in your appreciation of this game.
Yeah, that would have been an interesting episode.
Yeah.
I thought another dude, where's my car?
I really thought it was going to be a hate-fueled scream fest rant. I was glad to come into it with this.
Nah.
I'm glad that you appreciate this game on a level that I did.
Here's the thing, Kyle. I like good games. That's hey,
there
yeah,
we
give
go.
Me good games.
There
I
go.
Will enjoy them.
I like some shitty games sometimes.
I do too. I do own Outlaw Volleyball.
You do?
So,
and also Rockstar's Table Tennis.
Does anybody want Rockstar's Table Tennis?
We're giving it away. Just fuck. You don't even have to do anything. Just write us right
just
now and say,
us.
I would like Rockstar Table
copy
Tennis
for the 360.
You will fucking get it.
That's fine. That's yeah.
Totally your
it.
Copy.
It's yours.
For free. For free.
This is not a joke, but really, you want
yeah,
it.
Yeah, for real. We're
let
completely
us know.
Serious.
I'll get it to you.
There we go. Thanks, guys. I'm so glad, man. I really.
Yeah.
God. Play fucking Nier Automata.
If you do anything this year. And you have only time to devote to one game, it really should be Nier Automata.
Thanks. Yep. I agree.
It just should. There has not been a better game yet. And judging from what we saw at E3, which we might discuss on another episode.
Maybe.
It's going to be the best game
yep.
this year, I think. I don't see anything else that is going to take it, but I don't know. We might discuss that further in the E3 episode that we may or may not do.
Meh.
I don't know.
We're going to do it right after this. So, Ryan, thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Ryan.
And we're the Experience Grind.
I wasn't going to thank you back, if that's what you're asking
no,
for.
No, I didn't want it. But you guys should do some butt stuff to each other. Tickle their butthole.
Just some nice, gentle stuff.
Yeah.
In celebration of Nier Automata. Mm-hmm. Just sweet, loving butt
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. Just caress it. You don't have to go up inside it, but just touch it.
Yeah. Touch it from the inside.
Bye, guys.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We really hope you enjoyed it. If you did enjoy it, you can check us out at experiencegrind.com or find us over at facebook.com/experiencegrind.
Watch me play games on twitch.tv/experiencegrind.
We really like money. We really like money. We really like money. You should give us your money.
Find us on Patreon. Just search for Experience Grind Podcast.
Email us at experiencegrindpodcast@gmail.com. It's current year.
Follow us if you like butt stuff.
All right, buddy, you ready?
Yeah, I'm always ready.
All right.
Except for that one time where I entered the show completely wrong.
I loved it. I really did love that. That was great. At first, I was just, I didn't know where you were going with it, and then I realized, I was like,
I really
he's on
you
the E3 episode.
Such
he's totally,
a turd.
He has totally forgotten about Nier. Like,
why is Kyle not helping me out?
Because I was
clearly
just,
this is the
I
best
was, I was
ever.
Very confused. I was like, wait, why? Why is this E3? What is going on here? I loved it. It was great. It was fucking amazing.
All right. Well, we'll keep it.
I loved it. All right, here we go.